Welcome back to Lawless Ladies. I'm your host, Jenna.
Hey, Jenna.
How you doing today?
Fantastiche. How are you?
Just fine, Ellie. I have a really awesome episode for us today. I think you're gonna love this person.
Yes. I'm already excited.
I know.
Just because I get to hear Jenna tell me a story.
I'm gonna jump right in. I can't wait to get your reaction. The person that we're gonna talk about today is Sarah Aldretti. Have you heard of her?
No.
She is a cult priestess. I know, that's like your favorite thing. That's what you want to be in life.
I love cults and I love priestesses. Oh my God. Okay, I'm so excited.
I truly saw this pop up and I was like, Ellie's going to love this. So, Sarah is known for involvement as a Mexican serial murderer. And she did this together with Adolfo Constanzo. And he led a drug trafficking and human sacrifice cult.
I'm sorry. What?
Yes.
Jenna?
Yes. So it's a whole mix of a ton of fantastic things all together.
Fantastically terrible. Yeah,
fantastically terrible. I love the drug lord movies and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like the movie Blow with Johnny Depp.
Oh, great.
Fantastic.
Great film.
Anyway, we're going to talk about drugs and cults today.
Two of my favorite things.
Witchy criminals, right?
Spoil me, Jenna.
So let's jump into a little background, get you into the mindset of where they were in their lives. Adolfo's cult was a group operated in Mexico. It was in the 1980s, and the name was the Narco Satanicos, and that means a satanic drug cult. And Sarah was the godmother, and so that in Spanish is La Madrina. Mm-hmm. And Adolfo was the godfather, El Padrino. Sarah was 6 feet, 1 inches, a very tall lady, wow. Right? Had a presence
and
about
in Mexico,
her.
Too. She would just be towering.
Just like this very tall woman. And she had this brown, flowy hair in the 80s. So I think of like Farrah Fawcett hair, you know?
Ooh, okay.
Kind of flowy, some wingy things. So she grew up in Mexico on the border with the U.S. So this border town on the other side is Brownsville. And so that's where she went to high school, across the border every day to go to school. And then she took a couple classes at college at Texas Southmost College in Brownsville. And so some of those classes were anthropology, religion.
Love it.
So she learned a bunch in college. And so she was leading this double life. And it was like a secret. She was student by day, witch and devil worshiper by night.
Oh my gosh.
How fun,
so
right?
Cool.
I just think what she was doing, like in her parents' home at night, practicing all this stuff. Really weird story how Sarah and Adolfo met. They were driving on some road. Something happened where he looked over at her or something, and then he cut her off, so she had to stop. And then he started talking to her. He had this presence, too. And so this was in 1987 that this happened. Okay. She was like 22, turning 23. He told her he was a witch doctor. She was like, hell yeah, I've been doing witch stuff in my room at night. I'm learning about all this stuff. And so he influenced Sarah to get into black magic and witchcraft. She joined his religious cult like immediately. Wow. In April of 1988, they had this huge ceremony for her. It was almost like a baptism. And so Sarah described it in this documentary I watched. And she's like, yeah, it was like a baptism. But this baptism had skulls, chants to the dead, and an animal sacrifice.
Interesting.
That's a little different, right? It's more about death. Baptism's more about life, right?
Rebirth.
Very different. Mm-hmm. So this Adolfo guy, he's head of their cult, their religion. During these ceremonies, he became this healer. His eyes would turn all pure white, no pupils, and the room could feel this presence. And they talked about like everyone could feel it, and he had this healing power. It was really
crazy.
So this is what Sarah was drawn to, this religious side of things. Sarah and Adolfo, their cult practiced satanic mix of Santeria, Aztec warrior rituals, and Palo Mayombe.
Oh.
Have you heard of some of these?
Well, I know with the Aztecs that they used to sacrifice to the sun, right?
Maybe.
Oh wait, no. Or that was might it have been gods? Mayan. Oh, they would do human sacrifices.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So I do. Yeah.
I did look up the U.S. Department of Justice just to kind of see a little more info about these religions and how the American government distinguishes them. So, perfect. Santeria is usually used as strategy or to resolve conflict. It's usually conflict between people or within a person. It's usually like more of a neutral magic religion. There are some components of it that are a little bit more malicious and sorcery and spells with deities. They're not meant to harm enemies. Some people could have that hatred and that hostility take it to that level. So it's not intended to be, but it can go dark.
Well, that does sound a bit like Wiccan too.
Yeah.
I mean, Wiccan is all about not practicing evil. Its mantra is for the harm of none and the good of all. But there are things you could do with that knowledge. So it really is about the person that's practicing in that religion.
It just depends where people take it. I mean, it's just like Christianity. Yeah. You could take it in the extremes that we have seen, mm-hmm. especially in Texas, mm-hmm. or you could be a good human and treat everyone well. Yeah, anyway,
it's a great time to be alive in Texas.
Great time, yeah. You know.
Great time.
Palo Mayombe, and I'm pronouncing these wrong. Like always, you know, you can Google search, figure it out at your own how to say them. So that originated from Congo in Africa. Palo Mayombe, it centers in spirits of the dead. Okay. So in most instances, magic is used to inflict misfortune, such as insanity, divorce, or even death on the enemy.
Oh my God.
These religions, they don't create criminals. They don't create criminal activity. Mm-hmm. However, the religions are often used by criminals to further their crime enterprises. You know, members of these religions often feel they are protected by the deities. And so then they tend to act more rash and in bold ways because they're like, oh, the deities will protect me. Nothing bad will happen to me. I can do these awful things.
Yeah.
Back to Adolfo and his cult and his religion. They targeted drug dealers. And what they did is they would steal their drugs and then they'd push them over the U.S. border and then they'd sell them. And so it was like the Robin Hood of drugs.
Oh,
how kind of them to funnel it into the U.S.
Someone's gotta do it.
Yes, exactly. Adolfo's godfather's name was Laurentino Ventura, and he was a federal police officer.
Oh,
and so he had protection, right?
You.
So he had the police. He also had politicians, entertainment, media people.
That's how you get away with it.
The way that he had this power was he would do witchcraft consultants for them. And then he would get paid by them. And so he was taking money from whoever would pay him and giving them guidance and help. Sarah said in an interview that the success that he kept getting with people that he was consulting with, it basically proved their witchcraft practice and like proved, hey, this is a real religion. All these good things keep happening. We have all this money. We're helping all these people. Mm. Adolfo saw all these benefits of the cult, and at that moment, they were just sacrificing animals. And he was like, oh, this is great. You know, we're making all this money. We're doing all this good for everyone. Mm-hmm. Let's sacrifice humans.
Oh.
Think about how much better life will be for all of us. All of the great things the dead are going to give us because we're going to sacrifice humans.
Wow.
Delusions. Yes, the delusions. So this is 1970s, 80s in Mexico. At this time, people believed in witchcraft. Mm-hmm. It was this environment that the heads of police, law enforcement, politicians, they all were terrified of black magic and all of these superstitious things that could happen. Mm-hmm. And it was just this environment that they ended up following leaders like Adolfo. They helped this cult that was drug traffickers. So the narco-Satanists really helped them operate. And so Adolfo told his followers that, like, hey, the human human sacrifice that we're doing of all these people will give us immunity from law enforcement as we're smuggling drugs.
Wait, the law enforcement, all of them, they were just too scared slash also paid off already by Adolfo to do anything to stop this, but they knew?
Some of them followed him and were part of his religion and cult.
What?
And some of them probably were just too scared to do anything about it.
Wow.
A little combo of both, but there were tons of politicians and heads of different areas in Mexico that were part of the cult.
Because they
religion.
Trusted in his magic. Yeah. They got what they wanted.
Because they kept seeing all of these great benefits happening.
Oh, dear me.
The cult operated in this warehouse in Matamoros in Mexico. Matamoros, it sounds and looks, matar is to kill. Mm-hmm. And it just makes me think the city name just looks like everyone's gonna die and there's just
killers.
Yeah, right? It's a border town with the US. These border towns have a lot of people that are in weird, dire situations, you know?
That story earlier this year about the women from Georgia who drove down and crossed the border in Mexico to get medication.
Yes.
And they ended up getting like shot and one of them killed, like, and kidnapped.
Because people thought they were like Haitian drug lords or something.
Or other drug competitors.
Yeah.
All of the gangs have occupied those border towns.
Yep.
And are like, who are you? What are you doing here? What are you doing here? That's how gangs in Mexico talk.
That's exactly how they talk.
I just thought that was important to note.
Yes. Well, this is where their warehouse was. They tortured and murdered their victims here.
That's not human sacrificing, though. That's something else altogether.
Yeah, they had dismembered body parts that they then cooked in a large cauldron.
Oh, no!
Very witchy stuff, huh?
No!
Yeah.
That is not the witchcraft I subscribe to.
And authorities found human remains, including brains and hearts in large pots.
Did they eat them?
I don't think they actually ate them, but it was part of the sacrificing was boiling stuff in these pots. They would take out human spines and they'd make necklaces with them. When Adolfo and Sarah met, they had this weird necklace of animal parts, which probably were animal things back then. Because he didn't start the human sacrifice till later, I think.
Got you.
But
definitely not a red flag, ladies.
Either way.
If you meet a man... And he's wearing a necklace of bones.
Or something came
and he tries
from anybody.
And he tries to run you off the road to talk to you. I would just suggest, perhaps, pausing a moment before.
But, yes, I will say, I don't think they ever, like, dated or were into each other, though.
Oh.
So she's the godmother, he's the godfather. Like, they just led the cult together.
Got you.
Know?
You got
like,
you.
He had
see,
the cult
see,
first, the religion first, and she joined it.
And rose up in the
ranks. Yeah, and so I think they were just leaders of it together. He was bisexual, I read.
Oh.
But it didn't seem like from her interview, it didn't sound like she had a sexual or any kind of relationship outside of he being this crazy religious leader.
Got you. I would still say the warning stands.
Yeah.
Because even if it's not a romantic relationship, I would just walk away from anybody wearing a necklace of bone.
Yeah,
that's
I would agree with
personally.
You.
Personally.
Although I do have one thing. Crocodile Dundee. You remember that little movie? He had the crocodile teeth around his neck on his necklace. So, I mean, that's hot. Just kidding.
I'll leave that one with you, Jenna. You can have,
I take that back.
You can have the crocodile Dundee. Yeah.
I think it's rather the accent that gets
it
me every time.
It really does. It really does.
I read a couple articles, and in one of the articles, it says Sarah personally selected a victim to be butchered. He had, like, insulted La Madrina, the godmother, and she was like, he needs to be punished. So she has all this power, and she lured him in. She supervised the cult, killing him, cutting off his nipples before boiling him alive. So this was in an article. And so, like, we don't know if it actually happened, right? But this article says this happened, so I believe it.
Boiled him alive?
Boiled him alive.
That would be a fucking horrible way to go.
Yeah. And so there were tons of people that were disappearing in Matamoros. You know, people are just trying to get a better life in the U.S. and someone trying to help get them across the border, one of those mules, mm-hmm. and then they may kill them, you know. So yes. shit like that was happening in this area. God. Plus all of the cult deaths, murders. So in 1989, Sarah had ordered the cult members to bring a white American male as sacrifice. She says in an interview that Adolfo made the order. So we don't know who actually did. I think she did. The guy's name is Mark Kilroy. He was a teenage student on spring break in Matamoros, no. Mexico. They grabbed him. They took him to the ranch. And they started torturing and sodomizing him.
Oh, my God.
All the cult members for hours. They did this whole ritual with him, and they murdered him with a machete.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And so Mark had, like, a full-on mullet, because this is in 89, right? You know, sorry, not to laugh at his death, but... No, so he had this nice mullet, and the cultists removed his brain and boiled it in a pot.
I don't understand the boiling.
It's in the, it's their ritual, right? They're boiling and they're doing their...
And toiling their, and... boiling, toiling, and toiling.
Hocus pocus witches. Sanderson sisters? Yes. Okay, that's it. That's Sanderson. That's us. That's so us, right? They buried his body next to 13 other people in the...
13?
Yeah, there are 13 other victims in this area. So 14 total. Police started really digging in because he's white man, American. Oh, no, he's missing. We got to find him, mm-hmm. of course. They wouldn't have cared about anyone else. But
they didn't.
You know.
They didn't care about the other 13.
They didn't care about the other 13, right? Fuck. April 10th, 1989, they get a break in the case. Serafin Hernandez, who's a drug trafficker and cult member, is arrested. And police say Sarah called the police and said they needed to release him and another cult member, Omar, or else they'll start murdering children.
Oh my God.
These are some evil humans, right?
These people are the worst.
Yeah. And so Serafin later on confessed to helping kidnap Kilroy and burying him in the Santa Elena Ranch in Matamoros. Serafin confessed, and I may be saying his name wrong too. Serafin. He confessed, but remember, like, this cult, they thought the gods, the deities, the death or whatever was going to save them. Yeah. So they thought that they were never going to get arrested or anything bad would happen. Police end up going to the ranch and they're like, you know what? We're going to find Adolfo. You know what will make him mad? Let's burn down his ritual house. So they burnt it down and they were trying to drive him crazy by doing this. Supposedly, the police say it pushed him to go on the run. Mm-hmm. So Sarah and Adolfo, they're on the run and they go to Mexico City to hide. Sarah said that they were holding her hostage in the apartment that they're in. Mm-hmm. Although a cult member... and the police say that she was there on her very own. She could have left at any time.
Yeah.
So we got a little confusion here. So she claims she's being held hostage. She finds a piece of paper on an envelope, writes down, hey, like, I'm being kidnapped. A woman's in this apartment building. Send the police. Mm. She somehow got it out a window and onto the ground where there's a man and woman down there. All of a sudden, this is on May 6, 1989. She does this. Acting on that tip, so someone went and got the police ASAP. Mm-hmm. Detectives approached that Mexico City apartment and Adolfo freaks out and he starts shooting at the police officers.
Oh, got bold.
Yeah. And the police start shooting back at him. So there's a lot of back and forth, all these shots. And then...
Can you imagine being one of the people in the other apartment?
Oh, right? Like, that's what I'm terrified. Like, just like...
Just bullet holes coming through your fucking front window.
How do you even hide? You don't even
You die.
You just die when that happens. Yep. Yeah.
Collateral damage.
That makes sense. And then the shots ended and police entered the apartment. Adolfo and his partner, Martin, because you remember he's bisexual, were both dead in the closet.
Wow.
Police think Sarah ordered the killing or they did like a murder-suicide. But the murder-suicide would have been weird because it was like a machine gun and there's only one gun. So they think like someone actually killed them. One of the cult members says that Adolfo like beat him up like severely and said, kill me, kill me. He didn't want to go to jail. And that guy was actually beat up. So that could have actually happened. Mm. Sarah like snuck down the stairwell and she says that they were alive when she left. Police ended up catching her on the stairs.
Okay.
All these different stories. We don't know who actually killed them, but it's very suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
So Sarah and a couple other people in the cult all get captured and they bring her into this room. She is the one that's supposed to identify Adolfo's body.
Mm.
The police say that she's cursing and she's like, forgive me, Godfather, because that was her godfather, Padrino, yeah, of the cult. And so Sarah, in an interview, says what they did to her was they took her hands and they made her go in his open, dead chest and pull his heart out of his body. And then they're like, now you can eat it, because she was a witch.
The police made her do
that's this? What she says.
Okay.
Granted, this is the 1980s. They probably didn't have a lot of rules around.
That would be so fucked up.
The reason she says they did it is she was the bookkeeper for the cult or the religion, uh-huh, and they wanted the account number so they could track the money, mm-hmm, and figure out where the cult was doing all that stuff. And she could hear her friends being tortured in the other rooms near her. Jeez. She says that she had water torture. They hung her upside down. Sexual assault, like they put stuff on her genitals, like shock things and stuff.
Oh my God.
I assume they probably did torture her like this, but again, yeah, like we can't trust her because some of her stuff doesn't add up. And as they started like uncovering more information from all the cult leaders, like not everything was lining up. The police say cult members told them that Sarah was on the phone with plastic surgeons that day that they got caught, before the police arrived. So she was like trying to get a plastic surgeon change her face so she could flee.
Oh my God.
And then the police come and she's like, I was held hostage. Mm-hmm. So that's right. So it's contradicted her story. Adolfo was the bad guy, right?
Yeah.
And poor little me. And then they also, the cult members were like, Sarah had this boyfriend. He was one of those 14 dead bodies that they found.
Her boyfriend?
Yeah.
Was?
And so he had disappeared.
She sacrificed her own boyfriend?
And she said, oh, he just disappeared. I never knew what happened. And the police say that one of the cult members was like, he wasn't treating her well, so the cult killed him.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's, and so
crazy,
right? And so the police like burnt down their satanic ritual house, so there wasn't like fingerprints, hair, right?
Dumbasses.
Yeah, so they couldn't help with the investigation.
Oh my God.
Weren't able to like pull anything to save her, right? She couldn't even do anything. And she says Adolfo didn't even know that they like burnt that down, but then the police say he wouldn't have been on the run if they hadn't. So who knows? It's the police telling their side of the story. So in 1989 in Mexico, when they were caught, an accusation was enough to declare someone guilty and you had to prove yourself innocent.
Oh, no.
Right? All right. So we're in the 80s. It's a woman. So she had fewer rights. And the police thought if she's like hanging out with these men and they're doing all these awful things, she's got to be even worse to be the leader of them.
Oh,
that's
my.
Instructing them to do all these things. So
I mean,
Sarah,
true, but a weird,
right,
assumption and an even stranger judicial process.
Sarah Aldretti was captured and sentenced to 62 years in jail for involvement in these heinous killings and that were committed by the Narco Satanicos cult. And that was her original conviction. In 94, she had the 62 years, and it was 31 years for multi-homicide. Mm-hmm. Possession of narcotics was 12 years. Involvement in organized crime, 5 years. Police impersonation, 2 years.
When illegal did she impersonate a police?
I know. I didn't hear that.
Oh,
but
wow.
They gave it to her, right? Illegal body desecration, 2 years. Illegal possession of firearms, 10 years. Those were all of the things that were part of it. But then her sentence was later reduced to 50 years.
I'm floored that like possession of a narcotic is half the time for multiple person homicide.
Oh yeah,
that seems a little odd, but I suppose at the time they were trying to get crackdown on drug dealers and right. drug traffickers.
So this was like late 80s. So that was, yeah. I think, Reagan's era. And so he also was trying, he did the war on crime. I think it started with him. So it makes sense that the U.S. was like cracking down too on stuff. But this all happened in Mexico.
Right, that's what I mean.
And so I think also Mexico during this era, something must have been going down, right?
Yeah, maybe it was like part of a treaty or something.
In 2023, she tried to do this like early release appeal. So if she does get that, she'll get out in 2039. And as what? Of today, she has 30 years that she's already been in prison for her sentence.
That's crazy that she's even eligible for like an early release.
In this HBO documentary, it's all in, most of it's in Spanish with the subtitles, and she like says she was innocent and she was just a member of the religion and the cult. She didn't know about all of that bad stuff that was happening. And I'm like, how could you not know if you see them sacrificing people and you're partaking in those rituals?
Yeah.
So I personally
don't
believe her.
And you're picking the people.
I don't know. So she wrote a book and I really want to read it now. The book in Spanish is El Ángel de la Oscuridad. But in English, that means the angel of darkness. She actually has gotten interviewed by quite a few prominent media outlets. Discovery Channel, BBC, the HBO thing that I watched. And she has her book. She's out there and probably making some money there from all of her book sales.
So she wrote a book from prison?
She must have. And she also wrote a couple like shorter stories that she got Mexican literary awards for.
Wow.
And it's part of like a rehabilitation thing.
Okay.
But I will say, wherever they were interviewing her for the HBO series I watched, literally the prison looks like a school. Like, it doesn't look bad. Like, our elementary school looks the same as this prison. I swear.
Yeah, our prisons are weird.
Terrifying.
We're not doing a good job.
And she had a fanny pack on, and she had like, her outfit didn't look like a prisoner's jumpsuit. I think we treat prisoners worse in the U.S. probably, and we have so many of them. So
yeah.
It's just interesting. Who knows if Sarah was the one that was telling everyone to kill all these people or if it was Adolfo, but she like believed in this crazy religion that they were a part of. Mm-hmm. And she even was like looking back at some of their books with their papers with handwriting. And he had these weird codes for everyone, part of their rituals. So everyone had their own sheet. And I saw Sarah rip her sheet out. And she's like, this is mine. No one else can look at this. Super interesting. So I wonder if they have their own ritual sayings and chants that they would do for each person.
Maybe they probably made their own up.
Yeah, it's so like interesting.
Stay out of the cults, kids.
Yes. That's what we've learned, I think, out of anything with all of these cult documentaries. It's like, well, I mean, some religions. Got to be careful.
The OG
cult.
You got
a couple, take a couple steps back every once in a while and think, is this really a good group of people that I'm with?
Yeah, right. Just take, if you could just take just a tiny step back, look around the room, see the candles and the dying person on the table, maybe just have like a moment just a pausing moment to reflect objectively on the activities that you were involved in.
And if you're wearing a necklace made out of a human spine, that's a red flag.
Yeah, consult any mental health professional, I think, would be a good idea.
Facts.
At that time.
This was the perfect mix of a witch, some leadership, some cults, some drugs, some questions about, did she really do it?
Did she do it? I love this, Jenna. It was such a good job. You did such a good job.
Thank you so much.
I've never heard of her, and that's crazy.
It was really fun, and this podcast is getting me into watching true crime documentaries. Yes. So now I'm like getting way more ideas, which I love.
Phase one is complete. Of my corruption of your mind.
Yes. Well, I'm just waiting for the day that you're going to start our cult and our religion in our brand new city that we're going to develop.
And any day now.
You'll be our head priestess.
Any day now. I'm just designing the logo. You know, for our robes. For our matching robes.
Yeah.
We need to have a really good icon.
Oh, yeah. You know, beautifully designed outfits.
Started using AI to help me out. So it's you know.
Can we get an ad insert placement for some AI?
Well, thank you so much, Jenna. That was such a good story.
Thank you.
I don't ever want to be in a cult, but I would lead a really cool one.
You definitely are a strong leader, and I could see people following you because I've already followed people you into this crazy world of podcasting.
Yeah, it's actually crazy because I could not tell you what it is, but I do have this weird power of influence. People just trust that I'm an authority in everything. I'll just be going out to the bar, going to a concert. I have people coming up to me asking me questions about the show. You know, when's it gonna start? Do you know where the bathrooms are? My first time here. It happens all the time.
Are you wearing all black all the time? You just look like you fit right in.
I black all the time.
But it's not my favorite uniform.
Usually when I'm going to these shows and stuff, I'm in something sassy. People are coming up to me, and I don't think they think I work there. They just think I know.
You looked when you read the FAQ page before you got here.
I like to have fun with people sometimes, especially if they're drunk, because that's
really
fun. It is
super fun.
And they don't remember.
They'll never remember. It is really fun being sober, watching drunk people do all the shenanigans.
Yes,
I used to do that in high school. I was an athlete, so I would watch. I would drive and watch all my friends do all the ridiculous things. Do little play-by-plays.
It's so fun. And then you get to tell them the next day and really embarrass them.
Oh, they don't remember.
Exactly. That's why you have to remind them.
Insert plug for another ad there.
Just any other company that would like to jump in.
Please sponsor us. Help me, I'm poor.
Help me, I'm poor.
I wonder if they trademarked that. Help me, I'm poor.
Should we try?
We should try from Friendsons. I mean, they tried trademarking Taco Tuesday, and that did not work.
Oh, my God. And Paris Hilton trademarking It's Hot, or That's Hot.
Yeah, did she actually do it? Get away with it? I love listening to podcasts about people doing weird shit.
Yeah. That's why I love learning about all these criminals. It's where women reach their, like, breaking point of either fuck it or I'm taking back my power in whatever way I can, even if that is leading a satanic Mexican cult.
Well, and Adolfo was dead, so
human sacrifices.
She could just, you know, she just blamed it all on him.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. That's so smart. Blame it on the dead guy.
For all those listeners out there, you always blame it on the dead guy.
Yeah.
And you could get away with, like,
you can plant it.
So much.
Plant all the little clues.
Yep. Yep. Step one, join a cult. Don't do that. Don't. No.
Rewind.
Step one, don't join a cult.
Step two,
find joy elsewhere in your life.
Step three, blame other people for your issues.
Mm-hmm.
And
It
has to be a dead person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ideally.
Okay. Perfect. Done. Well, now with all of this advice, go off into the world and enjoy your week, everyone.
Yeah. Enjoy.